Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Mostly Mets podcast. It is a very special Mostly Mets podcast. We're going to do the first ever Mostly Awards. Yeah, that's right, the Mostly Awards. We're going to celebrate the great first half performances and not so great first half performances. And we'll get into exactly what the format of this whole show is going to be about in just a minute. Toby, I know I'm excited about this. I'm assuming you are as well, because we get a chance to give some feedback on who we think did well and who didn't.
Awards are good. I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
It's like award season right now, right? We had the ESPYs, and I think the Emmys are coming up. So why not have our own?
None of which I watch, because I'm too grumpy for that stuff.
Okay, well, there you go. So there you go. This will be your first award show of the season, and why not be involved with it? A quick programming note before we get started. To listen to all of SNY.TV's original podcasts covering the Mets, Jets, Knicks, Rangers, Islanders, or college basketball and recruiting, just subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's the SNY.TV audio network, and please make sure to rate and review our channel, and be sure to check out this week's Mets blog Q&A cast. Matt Cerrone talks with one of the Mets' greatest players of all time, a Mets legend, soon-to-be Hall of Famer, Mike Piazza. Going in the Hall of Fame very, very soon. Definitely give that a listen. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Matt does a great job with those Q&A casts, and Mike Piazza is just a fantastic guest, so that'll be great. Okay, time to get on to what we're going to do today. And again, we're going to have a little bit of fun with this. It's our first award show. I've never hosted an award show before, so, you know, we'll see. It could be a train wreck. But
big,
you know,
moment okay. For you. Big moment for you.
It is. I'm wearing a tuxedo, Toby, in the house. You can't see it. Maybe it's just one of those tuxedo shirts that people wear, like the bachelor parties and stuff. But
I'm gonna call your wife. She's gonna butt you.
Yeah, of course. All right. So it's basically what we're gonna do is, as we said during the very open, we're gonna award the best performances and then not so great performances from the first half. This is all based on merits from the first half of the season. So these guys earned these awards. So to set the rules, the categories were voted on by an esteemed panel of SNY.TV experts. No question about that, especially if you knew these guys. This is an esteemed panel. And we're going to reveal the nominees. We're going to announce the award winners. And we're going to discuss each topic as an acceptance speech based on what our producer basically wants us to do. We're not allowed to really cry for too long. We're not allowed to make political statements, because God knows if we do that, there's a chance some music is going to come up. And they're going to basically kick us off because the award show is running too long. So we'll make sure to not do that. So basically, everyone should play along at home. Vote on whoever you like. You could tweet us if you want. Tweet us the winners, or you think we screwed up somewhere and we should vote somebody else. At Robert Brender, at Toby High. We'll look at all those tweets. Toby, you ready? You excited
sure,
for this?
Let's go.
All right. Very good. All right. So here is our first category of the night. MVP of the first half. So we're talking about greatest performance of the first half. Your nominees are Thor, Noah Syndergaard, Bartolo, the man Cologne, Jurys Familia, Neil Walker, and Yoenis Cespedes. And the winner is Yoenis, or Yoenis, depending on how you want to pronounce it, Cespedes. Congratulations, Yoenis Cespedes. All right, Toby, we voted him the MVP. I know I voted him the MVP. I'm assuming you did as well.
Nope.
You did not. Why did you not vote
Yoenis? Hold on a second. He wins because he's the best Mets position player. This isn't very complicated, right? He's hitting 300, 302. He's getting on base. He's hitting for power. He's got 21 home runs. By wins above replacement, he is – you know, half a win clear of Neil Walker. That's a lot in that stat. So this is not hard. Yoenis Cespedes is the Mets' best position player. Okay. That's why he won the award.
I agree.
I voted for Noah Syndergaard because he's been better. He's when you sort of rank pitchers among pitchers and hitters among hitters, Syndergaard is closer to the top of the league leaderboards in wins above replacement than Cespedes has been. So I get it, and I was outvoted on this, and I can tell you why Cespedes won, I can tell you why I voted for Syndergaard.
I voted for Cespedes. I voted for Cespedes, number one, because, as you said, he's been the best offensive player that the Mets have. And I was thinking, where in the world would this Mets team be if not for Yoenis Cespedes? They have other good pitching, and yes, some of it has struggled. We saw Matt Harvey go down. We haven't seen great performances lately from Steven Matz. For that matter, as of the last couple of starts, Noah Syndergaard hasn't been that great. Especially against the Nationals. And think of where this team would be, though, without Yoenis Cespedes. I mean, the guy has carried the offense.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, look, we'll make the case for Thor real quick. Wins above replacement. If you use the Fangraphs version, Cespedes is at 2.2. Thor is at 4. That's a monster gap. And we can get into counting issues, but, you know, he's been fantastic.
All right. Fair enough. So Yoenis Cespedes wins. You ready to give us our second winner or loser of the day?
That's right. Our next award is the least valuable player of the first half. You ready? So our award candidates are Matt, My Shoulder Doesn't Hurt Harvey. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Antonio, Just Pay Me Bastardo. Alejandro, I Don't Know Where I Am De Aza. Kevin, Now in AAA Plowecki. And Eric, Should Always Be in AAA Campbell. And your winner is... Matt Harvey.
Wow.
Rob, take us away.
I voted for Matt Harvey in this category as well, so I agree with all the other panelists. Wonderful job of voting by everyone. I look at it this way, Toby. I based it on expectations. Yep. I didn't expect a whole lot out of Kevin Plawecki. I expected zero out of Eric Campbell, other than my expectation was that he wouldn't be on the roster. So congratulations to him that he actually made the big leagues this year at any point. Alejandro De Aza, I thought he was going to be the fifth outfielder and almost never play at all. So even though he's done nothing on the field productively, I still didn't expect him to do anything at all. So, you know, whatever. Antonio Bastardo has been a huge letdown, but I can't give it to a reliever who doesn't get that many innings. I've got to give it to a guy who's out there every fifth day, or essentially every fifth day until the injuries. And look, if Matt Harvey had this problem at the beginning of the year, just didn't know that he really had something that was so as bad as thoracic outlet syndrome, and he thought maybe I could just pitch through this, that's fine. But when you get to the point where you're as bad as he was, as regularly as it was that awful, I just think, you know, you've got to do something. You know, tell somebody that you need to rest for a month. I don't know, whatever. But he was just giving regular awful performances, Toby, and they expected him to be a linchpin in this rotation. Huge disappointment for me.
I know where you're coming from, and I voted De Aza. I think you're right. Relative to expectations, Harvey's the biggest drop. You expected him to be an ace. You expected him to throw like Syndergaard has. But he was bad, and then he was okay, and then he was hurt. And usually I don't ding a guy for being hurt. My problem with Harvey is that he didn't communicate that he was hurt, and that's right on him. And that goes into off-field stuff, and it goes into a really much bigger issue that we need to talk about at some later date. He didn't tell the Mets that he was hurt in the way that they needed to hear it.
Right.
All that said, he was, again, by wins above replacement level. Alejandro De Aza, minus 0.6. Again, this is Fangraphs. This is at the break. That's execrable. The dude's hitting 176 with a 252 on base and no power. It's, you know, Matt Harvey gave the Mets a couple good starts. He was far below where they expected him to be. They're still paying Alejandro De Aza to be a big league player, and he hasn't performed as such.
Yeah, how has he not been released yet? I know you're paying him all that money. You don't want to eat the cash, but come on.
So anyway, I had a tough time voting for this. I thought I was going to vote Harvey, and I just keep looking at those De Aza numbers. You go, come on.
Oh, I know.
That's terrible.
But for as bad as he's been on the offensive end, Antonio Bastardo's been equally as bad in the bullpen. It's just horrendous. All right. We don't have any more time to talk about the poor performances. Thank you. All right, thank you. Thank you to everyone in the audience.
All right, let's move on, Rob.
Yes. All right. Most surprising player of the first half. So we're going from something extremely negative to something that surprised us. Your nominees are Jim Henderson, Addison Reed, who has just been wonderful, Asdrubal Cabrera, James Loney, and finally, Brandon Nimmo, who's only been in the big leagues for, 2 weeks? And the winner is... shortstop for your New York Mets, Asdrubal Cabrera. Congratulations, Asdrubal, wherever you may be today. What a wonderful first half, Toby, for Cabrera.
Yeah, and the thing that Cabrera's done, and we risk running into an abuse of statistics here, but he's been better defensively than his reputation. And when you look at it, each of the last few years, his defensive numbers have been negative. You just take, again, the quick and dirty negative defensive metrics on Fangraphs, and he's been positive in the first half. And watching him play, you know, doesn't have the best range, but it's been better. And that was the knock on him coming into the year, is that he really wasn't a good defensive shortstop. Maybe Tim Tuffle gets some credit here for working on infielder positioning.
Yeah.
But for me, the thing was that Cabrera has really solidified that middle infield defense.
Is that the surprising factor here? Or is that the factor that is most surprising, I guess would be a better way to put it, as compared to his offense, which has also been pretty good?
Yeah, I expected him to hit a little bit, but I expected it to be at the expense of the defense, and it hasn't felt that way.
Fair enough. But I've been impressed by the power. Look, I know he showed some power last year in Tampa. A little bit of a difference hitting in Tampa in the Tropicana, in the dome there, as compared to hitting at Citi Field. And the way he's been able to launch the ball out of the yard every once in a while, and he's hitting well from both sides of the plate. And as you said, the defense has been so much better than expected. We saw a diving play. I don't remember the series a couple of weeks ago where he dove to his right. It was one of the best plays of the year. Little backhanded shovel over to second base. He's just made that kind of play on a regular basis. And as you said, he and Neil Walker really solidifying the middle of that infield. It's been a pleasant surprise.
You're right about the power. I mean, this is a guy who hit 15 home runs in 143 games last year. He's already got 12 and 85. Right. His career high is 25 with the Indians back in 2011. He's pretty much, he has a chance to get there. He's a little behind that pace. But even if he just sort of rolls with the pace he's on now, it'd be his second best home run season and his best in 6 years. So
it's not a stretch to say that that's the best contract other than Yoenis Cespedes that the Mets have given out gave out this past offseason, right?
Yeah, because, you know, Antonio Pistardo's in that group, right?
Right, exactly. And Alejandro De Aza.
All right, so now we go to moments. You ready?
Yes.
Your favorite moment of the first half. We've got some really good candidates. One, Bartolo, Big Sexy Colon. His first career major league home run. Thor, more home runs, more pitcher home runs. Two home runs in Los Angeles for Thor. Favorite moment, the Mets' four-game sweep of the Cubs. The Cespedes home run in the upper deck at Citi Field just this past weekend. And then Brandon Nimmo, the kid, game-tying hit in the first Cubs game. So, your winner is... Bartolo Colon's first career home run.
You know, Toby, I did not vote for this as my favorite moment of the half.
What was yours?
The four-game sweep of the Cubs.
You and me both.
Yeah, I thought it was much more important, much more gratifying, much more important for the team in general, the fact that they were able to sweep a huge series against the Cubs, especially after they had been swept by the Nationals down in D.C. And I was... We talked about surprising moments a little while ago. I was as surprised. We talked about surprise players. Surprise moment would have been for me the fact that they were able to achieve that kind of a sweep over the Cubs. And I know the Cubs had been on a long road trip, and they obviously weren't playing all that well at the time when they came into Citi Field. But look, to sweep the Cubs, one of the best teams in the first half to me was the most surprising moment. But you know, it was my favorite moment. Yes, favorite moment. But. You know, when it comes down to it, Bartolo Colon's home run, I get it, I guess. I mean, look, it was great, right?
Yeah, it was. It was amazing. And, you know, the Mets as a team had some fun with it. Garrett Cohen and had some fun with it. Howie Rose had some fun with it on WOR. I actually picked Nimmo's game-tying hit against the Cubs because it was part of that sweep, and Brandon Nimmo's kind of my guy. I've only been writing about him for, like, 6 years.
Right.
In the minors, and his smile was great, and he was so happy to be there. And it was a big moment in that first half. And if the Mets end up making the playoffs, which is a very big if, of course, although they're lined up for the wild card, you know, that those are big wins.
Yeah, agreed. And so it sounds like our esteemed panel of SNY.
We were outvoted on this.
Right, we were. The actual podcast host did not win their award.
Everyone else loves Big Sexy more than we do. So let's move on.
Yes, let's. All right. Most painful moment, and this was an interesting category to vote on because there are so many, I think, from the first half, despite the record being decent. All right, here are your nominees. Every single Daniel Murphy at bat against the Mets, because like 90% of them become hits and home runs and RBIs for the Nationals, and that's never good for the Mets. Syndergaard getting tossed after throwing at Chase Utley, which happened in the first inning, of course, against the Dodgers. Losing David Wright for the year. Very difficult moment, I think, for all Mets fans. Every time Terry Collins writes the word Alejandro De Aza in the starting lineup. And finally, researching thoracic outlet syndrome. And the winner is... every Daniel Murphy at bat against the Mets. Congratulations to Daniel Murphy, wherever he is at the moment, if he's back in D.C. or wherever the Nationals are after the break. He has torched the Mets, Toby. Absolutely destroyed them.
In 13 games against the Mets, Daniel Murphy is hitting .423 with three doubles, seven home runs, a .446 on base percentage, and .885 slugging percentage. So
that's good.
It is not just your impression that he is killing the Mets and that he gets a hit or a home run. It seems like every game against the Mets, he actually is doing that.
Yeah,
that's 10 extra base hits in 13 games.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's unreal. And I know there are all these people on Twitter now that want to at least type me. I'm assuming they're doing the same with you, that want to say, look, the Mets screwed this up. How could they not bring Murphy back? I still can't fault them for the process, Toby. I think the idea that they had of going out and getting Neil Walker for John East, letting Murphy go for the 3 years and getting the draft pick back, I still think that was the right idea. Nobody could have known that he would be the league's leading hitter at the break. I mean, this is a totally different Daniel Murphy. This is the National League Championship Series version of Daniel Murphy, which, again, I just don't think anybody could have projected would be the long-term outlook or the way that things would play out for him.
Yeah, it looked very reasonable in December, but this would be a better Mets team if it had Daniel Murphy on it.
Oh, no question. No question at this point. But so, you can't play the hindsight is 2020 game. Come on.
Wasn't, right. The whole process looked very reasonable in December. But, you know, it has not worked out.
No, it hasn't. And he's been great.
You know, the other thing in retrospect is that if the Mets could have done the Walker knee swap and signed Murphy and gambled on David Wright, you know, not being healthy and finding enough bats for Walker, it would have made for some awkward spring training moments, but that would actually have been the play.
Yeah, I just don't see it. I agree with the way that the thing played out. I agree with everything that they did. Look, Neil Walker, you can be better.
All right, let's move on. Now we move off the field into the realm where you seem to hang out a lot, the Twitter. Best use of social media, so we're combining both quality and quantity. Your nominees are Jerry Blevins, Noah Syndergaard, Yoenis Cespedes, Curtis Granderson, and Jose Reyes. The winner in the category is... Thor, come back to the podium, please.
Yeah, I think he deserves this. He's been active on Twitter. Congratulations for that. And I don't know if it's him tweeting, because if you remember back to, I think it was last year when he got into some trouble going back and forth with a fan one night when he was still in AAA, and people told him to take the tweets down. And I think after that point, he was told to let his agent run his Twitter. So I don't know how much of the tweeting is actually him and how much is the agent. I don't know. Maybe he tells him what to tweet or what he wants to have tweeted. Is that a word? Tweeted, I guess.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that, as far as that goes, but I can tell you that Noah Syndergaard's tweets have been entertaining. They have been playing off of his Thor image, and plus he tweets out all of the different stuff that he does with SMY now, which is great. It's great publicity for us and all the things and features that we're shooting with him, which, by the way, are wonderful, and you should check them all out. So congratulations, Noah. You have earned it. Curtis Granderson, every time he used to tweet, it was always about some product that he was endorsing, at least from what I remember. And I haven't seen Jose Reyes tweets lately, but from what I understand, a lot of them are just thanking everybody that he's back. And Yoenis Cespedes, when was the last time Cespedes tweeted anything? I don't know. It's been a long time.
So for me, this goes beyond Twitter. Curtis Granderson is on this list because of the We Follow Lucas Duda Instagram account.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
That's
did do that.
Really, really good. So if we're going to recommend Mets in social media, you got to do that. You got to recognize that. But let me give you a sampling of what makes Syndergaard pretty good. This is from July 5th. MLB is sending me to ASG, parentheses, Asgard, in the middle of the season. Guess I should call Jordan Oden to ready my bedchambers. I mean, you know, that's pretty funny. He's going to the All-Star game. He's excited, and he's playing off the Thor nickname.
Yeah, he does that a lot now. He's big into it. He's not afraid of the image.
And it's tongue-in-cheek, too. Like, you know, there was the Bone Spur Day. We talked about that. We did a show about the Bone Spurs and his elbow, Stephen Matt's elbow. June 29th. Hey, Mats, you want to talk about bone spurs some more? Dot, dot, dot. Mats, question mark, dot, dot, dot. Hashtag let's get a win with a gif of stuff falling down. That's great. And, it, you know, look, guys have to ask him about that stuff. It's his job to talk about it. He did.
Yeah.
And then he sort of makes fun of the whole process. That's well done.
When was the last time Curtis Granderson was able to post something about Lucas Duda? When was the last time Lucas Duda was around the clubhouse?
That's a fair point, right? So if, you know, if it's partly put a hurting on Granderson's candidacy. Let's move on.
Of course. All right. So congratulations to Noah yet again. You earned it. Now it's time for one of our favorite categories in this entire award show. Best TV play-by-play call of the first half. And I'm saying that, of course, because Toby and I love the play-by-play, no matter what sport it is. In this case, it's going to be an honorary award. We should really just call this award the Bartolo moment. And so, yes, it's predetermined who this winner was going to be, but I think everybody, if we would have added anyone else to this category as a nominee, it just would have had no chance. Wouldn't have had a chance. So, without further ado, Bartolo, everyone.
Malone looking for his first hit of the year. Oh. He drives one. Deep left field. Back goes Upton. Back near the wall. It's out of here. Bartolo has done it. The impossible has happened. The team vacates the dugout as Bartolo takes the long trot. His first career home run. And there will be nobody in the dugout to greet him. This is one of the great moments in the history of baseball. Bartolo Colon has gone deep.
Congratulations, not just to Bartolo, but to Gary Cohen, to Ron Darling for the fantastic call. And you can tell the excitement in Gary's voice. It was palpable. It was amazing. Even the laughing in the background from Ronnie, wonderful. And also to James Shields for surrendering that home run. Congratulations to him as well.
Do you think Gary Cohen enjoyed that call? Just a little bit?
Just a little bit. Look, you're on a long West Coast trip. They had just gotten to San Diego, and Bartolo goes yard. I mean, it makes the trip, right? No matter what happens the next 9-10 days, it's already perfect.
There are so many things that are great about that clip. For one thing, Gary sets it up brilliantly because he's Gary Cohen. He says, Bartolo Colon looking for his first hit of the season, right? So there's even a little bit of context from a broadcast perspective. And then at some point he realizes it's going on, and then he calls the thing. You've got Ronnie laughing in the background. They just giggling there, just enjoying it. It's perfect.
Yes, it was. It was the perfect call from the best or one of the two or three best play-by-play guys in the country in Gary Cohen. Just wonderful. And as you said, sometimes you set things up like he did and it just plays out perfectly. It kind of landed right into the sweet spot, if you will, with that call. So I thought that was great. And we should, Toby, give some credit, even though it's not part of this specific award, to the radio team, the WOR team, because Howie Rose, his call was just also phenomenal. It was great, and I'm sure everyone's already heard it by now. So that's the moment of the year, I guess, right?
Also worth pointing out that Bartolo set some records on that one. The oldest guy, I think, to hit his first major league home run.
Which was 42 or 43 at the time. I can't remember.
And I also believe, although this is unofficial, the slowest trot ever around the bases.
Well, because he can't run. The only surprising part of it was that he didn't carry his bat with him. And maybe disappointing part, because that would have really made it even that much better.
All right, next award. Who's up next?
Yes, it's time for the future comeback player of the year. So essentially we're trying to figure out which Met is going to have the strongest second half rebound from 2016's first half failures. And there have been a few to pick from here. So without further ado, your nominees: Michael Conforto, Curtis Granderson, Jose Reyes, Lucas Duda, and Travis d'Arnaud. And the winner is Michael Conforto, currently in AAA. Congratulations, Michael, or not so much.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to want that award. But, you know, I voted Conforto. He's a good hitter. He's going to be back, and he's going to help the Mets. I didn't think this was that or I guess that was my rationale for doing that.
Okay, I voted for Travis d'Arnaud. And the reason I voted
another
for Travis—
Another good choice.
Yeah, I voted for Travis for a couple of reasons. Because, number one, I'm not 100% sure that Michael Conforto is going to get an immediate opportunity back in the big leagues because Brandon Nimmo is doing well. And if Lagares stays healthy and Granderson and certainly Cespedes, and of course you have Nimmo up there as the fourth outfielder, when is our Mr. Conforto going to get back? And where is he going to play if he does get back? So that was my rationale. And the other part of it was the fact that Travis d'Arnaud, before the All-Star break, Toby, was hitting the ball a lot better.
Yep.
Making much more solid contact, hitting some line drives, hitting a couple of home runs. I think Travis d'Arnaud, and we've been saying this for years, if he stays healthy, this guy's really going to be able to hit. I think we saw a little taste of it, tiny, tiny little taste of it over those last week and a half, maybe 2 weeks.
Look, d'Arnaud was my honorable mention in the category. Sometimes I cheated when I was voting and listed an honorable mention. I think that's very reasonable. But it feels like the sort of the level of disappointment from Conforto, and it'll be a bigger comeback.
If he gets the chance.
Yep. Yep. Because, you know, d'Arnaud was hurt. That's a little different. Conforto lost his job.
Right. But we've seen in the past, you can come back from injury and be considered a comeback player of the year.
Yep. All right. Two good choices. All right. Now we get to pointing out, we point out some things that were wrong with the guys on the team. Now we get to go back and do things that we got wrong. You ready? This is good. Worst mostly Mets prediction of the first half from the season preview episode right before the season. Okay, so you and I predicted the Mets would win a world championship. We also predicted the Mets would win the division over the Nationals. And then the third prediction, the Mets would pile up wins against the Braves and the Phillies. So we have three potentially bad predictions. The winner is predicting that the Mets would pile up wins against the Braves and Phillies. Rob? What did we get wrong?
Again, the process here, Toby, I think was good. I think we had the right frame of mind that the Mets should beat up on the Braves and the Phillies, two awful, awful baseball teams. And yet, for some reason, the Mets just can't get out of their own way. And I don't understand it. As far as those other two nominations, the World Series championship, that's still up for grabs. They're very much in the race to get to the playoffs. Winning the division over the Nationals. Look, they're six back. The series against the Nationals before the break where they lost 3 out of 4 and then prior to that where they got swept, that's not going to help, obviously. But they're still very much in that race. They have a handful of games against the Nationals still remaining. They could do it. It's the other one. It's just not beating up on the Braves and Phillies that'll drive you insane.
So the Mets against Atlanta are, what, 7-and... I can't read this baseball reference table. This drives me bonkers. This is like the hardest table in the world to read.
Yeah, I don't have it up in front of me.
I always get here, and it's always confusing to me. So I should have cleaned this up before.
But, well, either way, they're not playing very well against those teams. I mean, they're playing awful baseball against those teams, to be honest. And that's really infuriating. Not only is it infuriating, but if you want to win a division, those are the teams you have to beat up on. And I just don't understand how Atlanta's had their number. I mean, Atlanta, they can't score. Can't score, but that goes to show that the Mets couldn't score much in the first half at times.
The Mets against Atlanta are 7-6. That's not good enough against one of the worst teams in baseball.
I would thought they would lose 3 games probably all year to Atlanta.
And against the Phillies, if I'm reading this right, 3, and this is the one that hurts, 3-3.
It's not good enough. It's not good enough.
So it's not like the Mets are losing all the time. It's that they're playing 500 ball against bad teams.
Yep. And other teams have their one bugaboo, right? They're one team that just, you know, they can't figure out a way to beat them. And I thought for the Mets it would be the Rockies, right? They got swept in Colorado. They just never seem to play well when they go to Denver for the most part. And especially on the back end of a trip, I kind of – you know, gave them a little bit of a pass for that when they got swept in that series about a month ago. But you don't get a pass when you lose to the Phillies. Travel's not an issue. The Phillies stink. Find a way to beat the Phillies. Find a way to beat the Braves.
More.
You can do it, Mets. Play better in the second half.
Here come the violins, Rob. We got to get out of here.
All right. I get it. You want us to wrap up. I get it. We'll leave on a high note. That was fun. Overall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That does it for today's first half look at the 2016 Mets and the first ever Mostly Awards. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I hope the folks that tweeted their frustration in our answers, or their they were pleased that we answered certain things the right way. I don't know. Thank you for tweeting us is what I'm trying to say. We really appreciate all the participation. Remember to listen to all of SMY.TV's original podcasts covering the Mets, Jets, Knicks, Rangers, Islanders, or college basketball and recruiting. Just subscribe to the SMY.TV audio network on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's the SMY.TV audio network. And please make sure to rate and review our channel. Congratulations to all of the winners tonight. You were all wonderful in the first half. And to those of you that were considered least valuable players, the Matt Harveys, we'll give you a little bit of a pass and maybe some sympathy because of the fact that now you're hurt. And I do know it's a serious injury. So don't worry. It's just an award show. It doesn't mean all that much, Matt. You'll be fine, and we need you back. To guys that didn't lose but probably should have, Alejandro de Haza, Antonio Bastardo, you've been awful. Find a way to be better. Toby, any final words?
I'll see you in the second half.
Yeah, that's not too far away from now. We're recording this on Thursday. That starts tomorrow. Thanks so very much to Jeff Goldman back at the studios and all of our production team for putting this together. To all the people who voted for it as well. For the most part, I agreed with everything you voted on. Just a couple of things you screwed up. But for the most part, it was okay. And again, this is the first ever Mostly Awards. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week on the Mostly Mets podcast. Bye-bye, everybody.
This has been the Mostly Mets podcast, part of the SNY.TV audio network.